Reading from Madhya Lila, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, text 120. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vrinda, Brahma Samhita Kanamrita Dui Punti Pan, Dui Pushtatmaya Arla Uttama Janina. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also found two other books, namely the Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrita. Knowing these books to be excellent, he took them to present them to his devotees. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. In the olden days, there were no presses, and all the important scriptures were handwritten and kept in large temples. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found the Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrita in handwritten text, and knowing them to be very authoritative, he took them with him to present to his devotees. Of course, he obtained the permission of the temple commander. Now both Brahma Samhita and Krishna Karnamrita are available in print with commentaries by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Taksudam Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Agadanastanam Dante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimadupa Padam Boja Duvisham Janma Janmani Varagyayud Bhakti Risham Payatnai Apayam Mamana Vipsamandham Kripam Buriya Paradhuka Duki Janatanastam Prabhu Masriyami Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindhu Bhaye Bhucha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Hor Bhaktarinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from New York City. I'm staying with very nice devotees, Kastuba and Gita Priya. It's very, very nice. They have a place in, 1 second. They have a place in the, you know, New York City in East 90th. It's near Central Park. Very nice one-bedroom apartment, and they're very kind and always host the devotees, and I'm staying in their bedroom, and it's a nice facility. And, of course, I remember when I was in Vrindavan, and I forgot maybe the late 80s, and we were staying in India on student visas, and at that time the relationship of the U.S. government, being a U.S. citizen in India, wasn't so good, and very difficult with visas, and I remember that they weren't going to renew my visa, and they gave me a quit India notice. I remember I used to go into Prabhupada's room, and that's before we even had the letter books. And they would have printed out Prabhupada's letters. And whenever I was in a dilemma, I would go in Prabhupada's room where he used to give darshan and then later left this world. And I'd pay my obeisances and I would pray for Prabhupada's instructions. And I was leaving India. I remember I looked at the letter and the letter was Prabhupada. I forgot who it was, maybe Bhavananda. And Prabhupada said, New York is favored by me because I started the movement there. I wish all New Yorkers to become Krishna conscious. And actually, because I was in India, that really inspired me to preach in the New York area. So it's always very, very enlivening for me to be here. Okay, now we'll go to the text, and we're following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Today we will finish his South Indian tour, and he'll be back in Puri. And as we've been following on this tour, it's very, very clearly mentioned in the text that he went to the holy places not to be purified himself, but to actually purify others with his association and to spread the Sankirtan mission. So nice, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I love that verse in, forgot what song it is, but Jivadoy Krishnanam Sarva Dharma Sar. Sarva Dharma Sar. Sar means the cream or the essence. Sarva Dharma, of all duties, Jivadoy Krishnanam, is to show magnanimity or compassion to others, Krishnanam, by giving them the holy name. So he goes to all these places, and in his, basically we can say also Acharya Leela, because he's setting the example of what is really an Acharya, one who, and Lord Chaitanya is obviously an Acharya, one who, as Prabhupada says, sets the example of the essence of religion, just like the six Goswamis. Nana Shastra Vachara Naika Nipano Sadharma Samstapako. Nana Shastra Vachara Naika Nipano. They scrutinizingly studied a variety of scriptures. Nana Shastra Vachara Naika Nipano scrutinizingly. Sadharma Samstapako. To establish what are people's duties. Because one's duties are prescribed, and it's prescribed according to one's condition, both internally and externally. Externally means a particular time. A particular time provides certain challenges for people, and therefore it requires a certain approach to Krishna consciousness. And if Krishna consciousness movement is to continue to spread, we need a charges. We need a charges. One who selects, it's just like if you go to a pharmacy, it doesn't do you any good. You need the doctor or pharmacist to negotiate between your condition, and then he selects the right one. It's not just enough to have medicine. So it's not just enough to have knowledge, so to speak, but you have to have people who are sufficiently realized to select what's relevant for you according to your condition of life, so that you can advance. So Lord Chaitanya is the Acharya, and in his role as the Acharya, he's establishing he's also the Yuga Avatar. So he's establishing the Dharma for the age of Nam Sankirtan, which is recommended as the most efficacious process of self-realization for this particular age. We know that verse, Hariar Nama, Hariar Nama, Hari Nama, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva. In this age, there's no other process, So this Kirtan. And as I explained before, as he's traveling, one of the things he's doing is meeting different spiritualists and points of view, etc. And in his discussions with them, we learn we learn about the superiority of Nam Sankirtan. Paramadye Sarva Shreshte Nama Sankirtan Nira Apa Rade Purla Paya Premada. Even among the processes of devotional service, there are nine processes, and all, of all of them, they're the best. Maybe at this time I could also answer Gail's question. I don't know if she's there today. Are you there today, Gail?
Yes, Maharaj, I'm here.
Okay, good. So you asked that question that, you know, we're presenting that chanting is the best, but people are saying otherwise. They're saying that, you know, to work or do active service is the best. And therefore, it appears what they're saying appears to be in contradiction to what's being said by Lord Chaitanya, etc. So I can answer it in this way. The goal of spiritual life is an internal one. Internal one means it's to change the consciousness. I would say basically from the platform of selfishness to selflessness. And therefore, our goal, the sadhya, or the goal, is to get bhava or praying. And bhava or praying is an internal development. So what is actually best is what most, what helps us most to internally develop and actually develop affection or love for Krishna. So, and therefore it says that the Acharya, he selects ways and means to, because the internal development will, the internal transformation of consciousness happens to the degree that we absorb ourselves in transcendence. So, there's an interesting thing. I was speaking today with Kastuba because he's preparing a Bhagavad Gita class, and he's explaining at the end of the third chapter, Krishna explains that lust it takes place. It's the enemy of the selfishness or love that one has, and knowledge. It's the enemy of everything. Abhitam jnana etena, jnaninas nityavarana. It's the eternal net. It covers knowledge. It covers the self. So this lust, it's explained that it the enemy of lust is in the senses, it's in the mind, it's in the intelligence. So generally, and unless we're very, very advanced, the lust in the senses is controlled or regulated by work. And the lust in the mind and the intelligence is regulated by either meditation or jnana, or the cultivation of knowledge. So at a very advanced stage, we can regulate and control the lust just by the force of the mind. But until we actually come to that advanced stage, we also require activity or work to purify us of that. So it's actually a balance between two activities. But we have to also have not just external practices, but practices that deal specifically internally. And when you're chanting Hare Krishna or cultivating spiritual knowledge, you're directly dealing with the mind itself, which is the goal. And what to speak of chanting the holy name of Krishna is the Yuga Dharma, given by Lord Chaitanya himself. So, that's recommended, that you deal directly with the mind. But at the same sense, you can also, by actively serving, especially for one who's not sufficiently advanced to even sit in one place, by actively serving, it is the best. And best is according to a person's qualification or nature. And if one is very, very advanced internally, and even the external activities of devotional service will invoke full absorption of the mind also. And then there's no difference. And your question is also a very subtle one, which actually myself, and I was just speaking with Borijan, we're actually still trying to analyze it, because there's terms in the Bhakti Sandarbha for different types of bhakti. And one is called Sarup Siddha Bhakti, and one's called Arop Siddha Bhakti. Sarup Siddha Bhakti literally means that the activity you're doing is bhakti itself. The holy name itself is the internal potency. And Arop Siddha Bhakti, Arop means imposed. The activity you're doing within itself may not be spiritual, but by the imposition of your consciousness, it can be transformed. So there's subtle differences. So it's really in terms of guidance, the balance of activities. But we can't negate that we do need a specific practice that's internal within itself. And we also can't negate that chanting is not just, as Bhaktisiddhanta said, I said it many times, it's not just lip deep, it's heart deep. And therefore it requires an open heart. And the open heart has to be surrendered to Guru, it has to be surrendered to Krishna, it has to be compassionate. So there's all sorts of components of this pure heart. Like gratitude is a component, compassion is a component. So these are components of that pure heart, and our activities may have to include activities that open our heart, like preaching and sharing with others, etc., to actually chant in a pure manner. So it's a very, very, very fine science. But ultimately, we have to, to really energize and bring the devotion in the heart. There's nothing better than non-sankirtan. And it has special potency when the chanting is done with others and accompanied by musical instruments specifically. That's Lord Chaitanya's mission. So that's also there. How did that sound, Gail?
Sounds good, man.
Okay, you want to think about it? At the end of class, you can ask another question.
I was actually satisfied last time.
Okay, well, thank you. Last time I wasn't satisfied. And, sometimes what happens is, I'll tell you very frankly, today I feel very, very relaxed, I haven't had that in a while, but I feel very, very relaxed. Just the situation, I like to give class like sitting cross-legged with my thing. I usually do it best when I'm sitting on a bed. And when I have a phone where my hands are free, because as you know me, Gail, if someone tied my hands, I probably couldn't speak. So what happens is sometimes I go to a place where my cell phone doesn't work, right? And then I have to hold my hand, and I feel it's like 50% of my brain won't work. So I'm just saying, today my hands are free. It's very nice, and part of this, it's so nice that even within Krishna consciousness, even within in Vaishnavism, there's a speciality in our line of the revelation of the full manifestation of the Absolute Reality, Sri Krishna, in relationship with Srimati Radharani. So therefore, even when Lord Chaitanya is traveling, even the story where he visits, he meets Ranga Puri, who is the disciple of Madhavendra Puri, which means the god brother of his guru, and the exchanges with him, and then he tells him, Your Holiness is certainly related to Madhavendra Puri, without who there is no fragrance of ecstatic love. So very, very nice. He meets this Ranga Puri, and then these two books that he finds, which I just want to read something about the Krishna Karnamrita, and I believe there's a translation being done by the BBT by a very, very nice god brother. I forgot his name, but he was working on it, and he was staying in Vrindavan. He discussed it with me. So this is this. He finds this book, and then he says, there is no comparison to Krishna Karnamrita within the three worlds. By studying this book, one is elevated to the knowledge of pure devotional service to Krishna. One who constantly reads the Krishna Karnamrita can fully understand the beauty and melodious taste of the pastimes of Lord Krishna. So Prabhupada is so kind that within his books, he has given us the sanction to study such wonderful literature as Krishna Bhavanamrita and Krishna Karnamrita and books like that. Of course, he's given a sanction, but there's also some qualification. So we'll read on today. I'm going to finish. After collecting these books, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu returned to Puri. At that time, the Snanyatra, the bathing place of Jagannath, was taking place, and he saw it. And I mentioned that I'm going to be fortunate to actually go to Puri and spend a week. And each of the holy dhams has a particular flavor. Like, if you go to Mayapur, the magnanimity, the Odarya, is so wonderful. It's practically the holy name without effort. It's just pouring like nectar from the sky. There's such access there. And there's the flavor of Vrindavan is Madhurya. If you go to Vrindavan in the proper way, you get a real sense of the intimacy of love between Radha and Krishna. You actually get that sense, that sweetness. And Jagannath Puri is this deep mood of separation. In fact, after the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu passed the planet, passed from this world, and then I believe Srup Damodar passed, Ramananda, that Raghunath Das Goswami, he was seeing, but he was seeing the ocean and remembering Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bathing in the ocean. The waves of the ocean felt like to him the hoods of many hooded serpents biting him with the snake bite of separation. As Raghunath Das Goswami says in Sri Vilap Kushmanjali, what a beautiful book, Vilap Kushmanjali. Vilap means lamentation, and Kushmanjali means to offer a bouquet of lamentations. He said, He's praying as a young maidservant of Srimati Radharani, because in his Siddha Sarup, he is Tulsi or Rati Manjari. And he's praying, and he's actually revealing in this book what is these moods. I think it's with the medicine of the red, he's praying to Radharani, Srimati Radhika, with the medicine of the red lac of your lotus feet, please cure this poor soul near dead from the snake bite of separation from you. So it is a mood of separation. And generally when I'm in Puri, we read actually the Antya Lila to see that mood of separation, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu I've explained so many times, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Krishna, trying to become complete by relishing the love of his topmost devotee, which is experienced in the embankment of separation. So we see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Puri in this intense mood of separation. And in this intense mood of separation, he's also showing us how to practice Krishna consciousness at whatever level we're at. Because real devotion will begin with separation, for us especially, because we are separated from Krishna. That's a real position to us. So if we can somehow access that, and Srila Gaura Govinda Swami, he said that I want to open up a crying school, because this is the method of bhajan that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught. Real deep hankering. And when desire is unfulfilled, and it's an intense desire, then the voice of that desire comes to tears. And that's our internal mood. We have to get some attachment and increase that attachment by really feeling separated from Krishna. And therefore, Prabhupada gave us the simple instruction, we should chant the holy name like a child who is crying for his mother. Such a nice sentiment. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is now returning to Puri. And in returning to Puri, he's going to fulfill the internal reason for his descent, which is to get this mood, to cultivate this mood of Radharani and the mood of separation. Very nice now. Anavasari Jagannathera Napana Dasana Vidaheya lala nata karila gamana. When Jagannath was absent from the temple, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who could not see him, felt separation and felt Lord Jagannath and felt Jagannath Puri and left Jagannath Puri to go to a place named Alalanath. So this is this is 14 kilometers. And the Snanyatra means that Lord Jagannath disappears. So Lord Chaitanya, he would stay at the Garuda Stamba, and in that vision from the Garuda Stamba, he actually was blocked from Balaram and Subhadra. He was only seeing Jagannath. And he was seeing Jagannath in his mood of Srimati Radharani. And then when that deity is in the Snatyatra disappears, he's legitimately feeling separation because that is his Lord, that is his Ishtadev, and that actually is Krishna appearing. So Krishna he's actually separated in that mood. And he goes to this place, every time that happens, every year, he goes to this place, Alalanath or Alanath. And it's a place, it was called Brahmagiri. A very special place because Lord Chaitanya's whole body is melted into the stone in ecstasy. So it's a very, very special place. And why is this Brahmagiri? It means Lord Brahma's mountain, and Lord Brahma, he was worshipping in a way that Narayan came and manifested a four-handed form of himself as a benediction for Brahma to worship. And then it's called Alarnath because when the temple was built, the Alwars, that's in the Sri Sampradaya, actually preceding, I think, even Ramanujacharya. These were the great Vaishnavas. So their descendants began to worship this deity. So the deity became Alwarnath, the Lord of the Alwars. They worship him in the form of Narayan. So this is actually this very nice devotee in Bhuvaneshwar called Madhavananda. He's a disciple of Gauravinda Swami, and he will actually be taking me on my tour of Puri, and he knows all the places. He actually wrote an article about this because it was a great puzzle. Why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in separation from Lord Jagannath, would go to this particular place, especially when this is a four-handed form of Narayan. It's not the full manifestation, Swayam Bhagavan, Vajendranandana Krishna, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is worshipping, and even there's one story quoted in the Sri Chaitanya Chandadaya Natakam. I forgot who's written by, but Advaita asked Mahaprabhu about Mukunda's offense because Lord Chaitanya banned the devotee Mukunda from seeing him. And of course, finally, as the devotees who are more compassionate in one sense than the Lord, they're pleading with Lord Chaitanya, can you please forgive him? Because it breaks their heart. If you love Krishna, you love his devotees. The devotees are in Udipan. There's certain things that like a match, puts something to flames. There's something that can, the fire of our bhakti becomes lighted or inflamed. It's called Udipan. And it's necessary for any particular affection of Krishna to mature. If one wants rasa or perfected love, the basis of it is there has to be some stimulus, and that's called udita. And one of the stimuluses of ecstatic love is the devotees of the object of your love. If you have a relationship with Krishna as a friend, if you have a relationship with Krishna as a lover, still, Krishna's mother is a stimulus for your love, the servants of Krishna. Just like we have affection for Prabhupada. Last week when I was in Delaware, we would watch these Prabhupada videos, these conversations when we are taking our lunch. And I especially it was great for my guru bhakti, as I would see, you know, people like Tamal Krishnamaraj. I watched one video of Tamal Krishnamaraj, Bhaktivedanta Swami, Ambarish, and Pradyumna. And just seeing them, Pradyumna, especially I liked his, and I think I told this in the last class, Prabhupada came into a hotel room or something, he was staying someplace, and said, "Open up the windows." You know, and then Prabhupada said, "Open up the doors." And then Prabhupada said, "Indian house means open windows, open doors, open mind." And then I was also, when I was with Kasturba today, he's preparing his Bhagavad Gita class, and he was commenting on the commentary of Ramanujacharya, he has one printed in English, and how it focuses on each verse. And he was showing me some of the summaries, and they were excellent, actually. And we were discussing this, and Pradyumna, in his memories of Prabhupada, he asked Prabhupada, what will you translate next? And Prabhupada said, well, maybe the works of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I think he mentioned Jiva Dharma. Prabhupada, he said, liked Jiva Dharma very, very much. And he mentioned a few books. And then he said the Satsandarbhas by Jiva Goswami. And he said Bhagavad Gita. And then Prabhupada said to him, then Pradyumna said, well, you already have a translation of Bhagavad Gita. And Prabhupada said, there are many commentaries. And Prabhupada mentioned Ramanujacharya, etc. So I guess I kind of lost my point here. I'll get back to this place here. Okay, anyway. So Udipin. So this Narayan form, as we remember, when the gopis left the rasa dance, right, and they saw the Narayan form of the Absolute Reality, it didn't attract them. They said, where is Krishna? They were looking for Narayan. Oh, Krishna is there. It didn't attract them, that form. That's not the aspect of their love. So the question is why was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu going to this place? And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur very, very much favored this place and established the Gaudiya Math and actually discussed this place. And he said it's very, very unique because even though it's a Vishnu deity, and there are universal mantras for Vishnu, this deity has the priests who are these Sri Sampradaya, who worship Lakshmi Narayan, and they somehow have the Bij mantras of Klim Gopi Jana Valabhaya Swaha. So Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained a very amazing thing about this place and why Lord Chaitanya is not only attracted to continually go there in separation from Krishna, but his separation is so great that he faints and melts in the stone. So he explained that every place in Puri is internally a corresponding place in Braj, and that this place of Brahmagiri is a place called Panti in Braj, and that place is the place where the Krishna left the Rasa dance. He goes to this place, and the gopis are looking for him, and he hides in his four-handed form. So Bhakti Siddhanta explained that in Puri, these same feelings of separation that the gopis were feeling from Krishna are manifest. But the difference is when Radharani came to that same form, four-handed form, because of the force of intimacy of Radharani's love. What does Srimati Radhika mean? She means the internal potency who has the full capacity to please Krishna. And the full capacity to please Krishna is the most intense love of Krishna. And therefore, before Srimati Radharani and the full capacity of love, the full intimacy of that absolute reality has to manifest. And he has to, therefore, shed the Aishvarya and come to the two-handed form. So in the same way, in this particular place, when Mahaprabhu went to this Brahmagiri and he saw the four-handed form before him, because Mahaprabhu is that manifestation, the internal manifestation of Srimati Radharani, then the four-handed form became two-handed form. The action, by Mahaprabhu's mood of Srimati Radharani, just as Radharani's mood in Panta, when she saw the four-handed form of Narayan, he couldn't manifest the majestic aspect, and he had to come to the intimate aspect of Krishna. So in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in separation, in Puri, and he comes to this place, and then he sees the four-handed form. Similarly, it manifests its two hands, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu faints into the ground. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he goes to this place. It's here, it says, Alalanath. And there he receives news that all the devotees from Bengal were coming. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finally left Alanath to return to Puri, he was overwhelmed both day and night due to separation from Jagannath. His lamentations knew no bounds. During this time, all the devotees from different parts of Bengal, and especially from Navadvipa, arrived in Puri. Let me just see where I'm up to. Okay. Anyway, then he meets Ramananda Roy, and Ramananda Roy, as we remember, is such an intimate associate, one of the most intimate associates. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him to come to Puri. Well, actually, now I see what happened. Okay, I get it. Okay, and then he finishes this Puri tour, and I just want to read the full Shruti. The full Shruti means that generally in every pastime, there's a impetus to read it. Full means fruit. Full Shruti, Shruti means verse, is generally a verse that to inspire us mentions the fruit of hearing about this. So we just completed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's tour of South India and his travel to the holy places. So let me just read for us the fruit we get from actually hearing this. It's very inspiring. It's right here. We'll start with that verse. Okay. Yeah, I thought this would be nice to do. And then I'll leave it to some questions. Okay. Thus I have ended my narration about Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pilgrimage, describing it in brief. It cannot be described very broadly. It is not possible to describe expansively, basically. Ananta Chaitanya Lila Kohita Najani Lave Aja Kanatade Karitanatani. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya Unlimited, no one can properly describe his activities, yet I make the attempt out of greed that this reveals my shamelessness. So Ananta Chaitanya Lila, it's unlimited. But out of his desire to describe it, he attempts it. And he said, this reveals his shamelessness. And this is actually the mood of Baba. This is, what's this called? Ashabhanda. The symptom of Baba. One of the symptoms of Baba is Ashabhanda. Asha means hope. You can't, your hopes cannot be bound. And it's such a wonderful feeling because one is feeling that Krishna is unlimited, Krishna is unattainable, I am so unqualified to attain that object, and then one is looking at himself and seeing what possible. But then this hope comes. And what is the hope? That even though I'm so unqualified, one of the qualities of Krishna is his unlimited mercy. So I have chance. So Prabhupada very brilliantly translates that as hope against hope. So beautiful, that translation. But literally, Ashabandha means your hope cannot be bound. And that's actually one of the symptoms of a Mahapurush, or great person. And that's why Krishna's father is called Anakadundadi. When Krishna's father, with his great diplomacy and great intelligence, tries to stop Kamsa from killing his daughter. And I mentioned that story, that Kamsa's left hand is around Devaki's hair, pulling at her head up, and his right hand, he drops the reins and picks up a sword. And Vasudeva, Krishna's father, and so many wonderful arguments and full of diplomacy, and really is just somehow preventing his wife from being beheaded by this terrorist. And just finally, you know, he gives all arguments, and then he sees that, you know, Kamsa is struggling with his conscience because of the force of Vasudeva's great preaching. How can you kill your sister, who is a woman, on the day of her marriage? That's called beta. You create some tension or fear in the person. You try to, how can you kill your sister, who's a woman, on the day of her marriage? But still, Kamsa is ready to kill. And then finally, Vasudeva is just feeling so hopeless. But then in his mind, he thinks that it's a religious principle that one should try to protect life as long as one is possible. And then he comes up with this brilliant thing. It is not my sister will kill you, but her eighth-born child. And I promise I will give you that child. And Vasudeva had such a word that even Kamsa, who was a demon, said, yes, you have given your word. I will not. I do not have to kill my sister. You bring each child. And Prabhupada, in that purport, I always remember one of my favorite statements, Prabhupada in the purport of Krishna book, who was translating the Bhagavatam, said, there is nothing too difficult in the execution of, nothing too difficult, you know, for an honorable man in the execution of his duty. There's nothing too difficult. If he has his duty, he performs. And I would see this in India. And it was so impressive. I remember this old Indian gentleman. He was actually the first principal of the Gurukul. I was very close to him. And I just saw that they had this dharma, that their word, when they gave their word, whatever they said, that was fact. It's actually a good psychological technique to actually test yourself, to say, today, whatever I say, I will keep my word, and then make a vow. I will, you know, not criticize a devotee today. I will not overeat today, whatever it is. I will pick whatever bad habit you have, you say the opposite. And it shows you the power and the nature of the mind. So his word was given. And then the name for Vasudeva in that particular purport was called Anakadundabi. And Anaka means trumpets, and Dundabi means drums. And the commentary on those words were, his name is Anakadundabi because when he was born, the demigods knew that this would be the father of Krishna. And they knew he would have this quality of Ashabandha, that his hope and his hopes could never be bound. He was so determined. And therefore, because he was such a great person, when he was born, they played the Anaka, the trumpets, and the Dundabis, the kettle drums. So these pastimes of Chaitanya are unlimited. No one can properly describe, but I make attempt. Asabandha. This reveals my shamelessness. Whoever hears Prabhura Tirtha Yatra Kata Shuniye Jana Chaitanya Charine Paya Gada Premadan. Whoever hears of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pilgrimage to various holy places attains the riches of very deep ecstatic love. Whoever hears about this, this three more verses. Please hear the transcendental pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with faith and devotion, giving up envy of the Lord. Everyone chant the Lord's holy name, Hari, Chaitanya Charita Shuna, Sata Bhakti Kari, Matsarya Charya Mukhe, Bala Hari Hari. In the age of Kali, there are no genuine religious principles other than those established by Vaishnav devotees and Vaishnav scriptures. This is the sum and substance of everything. A kali kale ara nahi kone dharm Vaishnava Vaishnava Shastra e kahi ma. Vaishnava Vaishnava Shastra e kahi ma. Vaishnava Dharma is what? Vaishnava Vaishnava Shastra. Nahi kone. There's nothing else in this Kali Yuga. E kahi ma. This is the purport. Chaitanya Chandra Lila Agada Gambira Pravesha Karita Nari Sparse Rahitira. The pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are like the unfathomable ocean. It is not possible for me to enter into it. Simply standing on the door, I am touching the water. This is the Vaishnava. He realized the expanse and greatness of the Supreme Lord. And on his own power, he feels helpless, but then he thinks of Krishna's mercy and standing on the shore. I'm but touching the water. I'm not qualified. I'm getting something, not the whole thing. So humble. And then, of course, Sri Rupa Raghunatha Padi Yaha Asa Chaitanya Charitamra Kohi Krishna Das. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa and Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna Das, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, following in their footsteps. So, it's very nice. We finished this, and now some of the chapters we will be summarizing is Lord Chaitanya's return to Puri, he meets all his associates, King Kartaparudra, then the Beta Kirtan pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the cleansing of the Gundicha temple, the ecstatic dancing of the Lord at Rathiatra, performance of Vrindavan, accepting prasad at the house of Sarvabhauma, his attempt to go to Vrindavan, his travel to Vrindavan, his visit to Vrindavan, then Sanatana Siksha, Rupa Siksha. So this is all in the Madhya Lila, in the summary, and we'll try to cover it. Hare Krishna, would anyone like to ask a question? Gail, I know you have questions. We'll see if anyone else also has questions. Does anybody have question? Okay, Gail?
Yeah, no, hi, Krishna. Thank you. I want you to elaborate, if you would, on a couple of things. One was what it actually means to hear pastimes with faith, because I'm sure that hearing with faith doesn't simply mean hearing them just, you know, trying to convince yourself that, or trying to believe that they are true. And also, if you would elaborate on how to cry sincerely, you know, given the fact that, I don't have that spontaneous attachment.
Okay. Well, interesting. So the first question was, again, I'll remember it.
Yes, is how to hear the pastimes of faith.
Yeah, faith. So what faith means is to trust in something. Right, and Prabhupada beautifully says to trust in something sublime. So your trust that something is sublime is the experience, to some extent, of its sublimity. And that experience of sublimity goes in different stages. You know, first there's an appreciation. And then there is, this, it's described, you know, sadhu sangha, the appreciation increases. You want to be with the devotees. Then bhajana kriya, you not only want to be with the devotees, you want to adopt the practices. And so why are you progressing like this in your faith? Your faith in what? Bhakti in what? The sublimity of bhakti. And how, what is the faith? You're increasing your taste. But it begins with appreciation. It begins, faith, Prabhupada also said, is respect. So even the way you approach the book, you know, the proper book, even in India, you know, this is why the books used to be so much more revered, because there was just one copy, and, you know, someone just copied the books. They worshiped the book. You know, so even the proper mood to actually access whatever faith we have, just by putting the book in the proper place, by paying obeisances. So we have a certain level of faith, and bhakti sanjayate bhakti, and by hearing our faith will increase. But there's certain things of respect, and one thing of respect is the attentiveness, by putting ourselves in the proper mood. That's why we chant the prayers beforehand. Perhaps maybe we're sitting on an asana, we're clean. Perhaps we're offering a flower. We're bowing down beforehand. We're trying to access in our consciousness our faith by perhaps certain verses that describe the glories of this book. Jaya, Jaya, Sri Chaitanya, Jaya, Nityananda, Jaya, Dvaita, Chanda, Jaya, Gaur, Bhaktivinoda. Yeah, somehow thinking of that. I always describe that process that Bhurijan had of prayerful reading. Before you read, you pay obeisances, you're in the mood that you're going to meet some great personalities, and you're praying for them to influence your life. So I guess the question, your answer would be, is we have a certain level of faith, otherwise we won't be hearing. And we can access that faith just by verses like this, saying that we should approach it with faith. So we can access something with faith. We can access our faith by even the etiquette of the proper respect. It's just like if you're with a great spiritual personality and you have some respect for him, but you can be a little bit more reverent, a little bit more, you can pay your obeisances, you know, you can be, you know, there's just different etiquette that one even can, you know, if you're with a superior and a superior walks in, you stand up. And it's described, why? Because when the superior comes, your life there will rise. And if you don't rise also, then, you know, you'll lose that life there, or leave your body. So there's all types of things. So basically we have faith, and we can always increase faith, and we can always access that faith by a little bit understanding of how to put ourselves in a respectful position. And your second question was?
Yes, crying sincerely, you know, to the vet.
It's the same thing. It's the same thing. We have to be attentive. I mean, it's just the whole process of the holy name. We have to be attentive. Then we may have to be thoughtful a little bit. We can think, I'm not attached to Krishna. There's lobha or greed, which is legitimate attachment to Krishna. And then there is apeksha, which is the desire to have that desire. So even if you don't have that faith, that greed, that crying, then if we pray for it, we can cry on the level I don't have it. And in that way, somehow or other, try to access some little drop of devotion for Krishna, just in that way. You know, just by crying for that we don't have it. We cry to have tears. Okay, would anyone else like to say Hare Krishna today?
Hare Krishna.
Who is that?
This is Sasvarup Maharaj with Jayadvaita Maharaj.
Oh my God, I'm so fortunate to get both of your association.
We enjoyed the class very, very much.
Well, thank you. I never can tell when I'm being benedicted. Thank you so much.
Arrivo.
How wonderful. Thank you. Arrivo. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Who's that?
Kripurari Maharaj.
Oh, my God. I'm really
just thought I'd
overwhelmed today.
Yeah. I didn't hear all of your class, but I heard part of it. So I thought I'd say, offer my pranam. Pranam Kori.
Oh, thank you so much.
You and all your devotees.
Well, thank you so much. Wow. The people who should be giving the classes are listening to it. I feel so embarrassed. Wow. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
Gordon.
Gordon, where are you listening from?
Right at the Huns Lake, on the shore of Huns Lake.
On the shore of Huns Lake. Gordon, thank you for coming on today. Thank you so much. Hare Bo. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay, then we'll end today. Thank you. Vanshikopa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vayevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Thank you. Hare Krishna.